Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hello, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. It's kind of a busy month in terms of sort of special things that happen in the church that would be, I don't want to call them ancillary, but they're not like liturgical seasons. Mm-hmm. It's ordinary time, but just some neat things and some new things that are happening. Like, what's going on around this time of year?
Well, it's the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the same way that St. John Paul II established the Sunday of Divine Mercy, Pope Francis has established the Word of God Sunday. And as we discussed last week, or at Sacred Heart, we are having a bit of a biblical conference. It's not the only one this Sunday.
It's also Word of God Sunday. That's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Catholic Schools Week
begins
this week. Just a week to honor our Catholic schools. A lot of open houses. If someone is interested in your neighborhood Catholic school, they might have an open house. So check out their website. And then Week of Christian Unity. That's been around for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
In a universal sense, that's around this time of month as we look at not just Catholics, but our shared bonds as disciples of Jesus Christ.
So one of the reasons why the Holy Father established this day it's ecumenical also. It's an interreligious dialogue also. It's part, if you read the document, it's part of the motivation for the feast. It is connected with the week for Christian unity and beyond. There is a lot of mentioning of our Jewish heritage, which is the talk that Bishop Skelba is going to give us about the Jewishness in the New Testament, to understand that culture a little bit more, that would help Catholics to understand the New Testament more.
So why don't I get to the gospel?
Sure.
So there's a short and a long version this weekend. Not a big difference between the two. Let's do the longer one, which is not too bad. Where is that going to be from?
So we are reading Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people.
A great gospel, and the difference between the long and the short version is that second part where he begins calling the disciples, that would be optional, so to speak. And it's true that it's a gospel with two different parts, that's true. But I think it's worth it to read both and to reflect in both things.
Well, I think so, and in particular that first part now, so this is Matthew's gospel. This is the gospel we'll be focusing in on this liturgical year. But this is the start of Jesus' public ministry, which is a big deal. And this is how it happens, almost, I don't want to call it subtle, but almost just like a transition from John. John is arrested and eventually will be executed. But here Jesus says, "It's my time now." He withdraws to Galilee and then leaves Nazareth. So this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. It's not explicitly stated, but here it is in Matthew's gospel.
And in all the synoptic gospels, he begins by himself and then he moves into calling disciples. So you see, like, there is a bit of a transition there. I want you to look at that word, withdrew to Galilee. Matthew is the only one who has that word, and he uses it 19 times. The kings, the Magi, also withdraw back to their town. It's an interesting verb, and it's a verb that indicates, like, almost to exile yourself, you know, which is something very typical of Matthew. This idea that Joseph has to exile to Egypt, the Magi exiled, withdrew themselves from there, like now Jesus withdraws himself to Galilee. It's interesting that only Matthew uses that verb.
I picked up on that as well. Yeah, that importance of withdrawing. So Jesus praying, but here withdrawing as well. It's just interesting to contemplate and to think about those times that we need to withdraw, especially, though, the timing of this. So before mm-hmm. Jesus begins this very public ministry, before he begins this time, and kind of what happens there? Is that a mm-hmm. time, could we call it preparation, or, you know, what's going on? It's just important to contemplate, and we don't know exactly what happens there.
What is important also is to see the geography of the gospel. So here it's very clear that Jesus, of course, historically, he was raised in Galilee, but there is a significance about the ministry in Galilee. One way to look at this is that Jesus, if he would have stayed in Galilee, which is where the ministry begins, where he heals people, he proclaims that the gospel is at hand, the same way that John had proclaimed that, Jesus would not be Jesus. He would not have been killed for healing people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is when at some point he will move on from the ministry in Galilee and say, now I'm going to Jerusalem, that's when trouble begins. It's something to take into account. And then it's very interesting, the call of the disciples in the Old Testament, the earth is divided by brothers. So here you have pairs of names. Mm-hmm. This is the calling of the Jewish disciples. The names are Jewish. And then he will call more people in the fringes afterwards. But this is later words. I invented an English word. Afterwards, he will call Levi, and then it will be more open to other people. But at the beginning, these disciples are of Jewish origin.
Yeah, this call of the disciples and how it begins is just an important reminder that I know you and I have spoken of, and we think about this now as we look at communities, but the reality that spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, communicating, it happens one-on-one and in small groups,
yeah.
And it happens in friendships, and mm-hmm. this is how it was from the beginning. So as you look at maybe the way that we deal in a consumer world or in a lot of institutions, we think about crowds, you know, like, all right, hundreds of people are going to buy this, or we want hundreds of people to be kind of coming into church one day.
Yeah.
And the reality is with Jesus, it really is, it's very small, and it's one-on-one. And it's a reminder of our need to get back to that,
mm-hmm.
to get back to relationships, to friendships. And that's how we bring people to Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure we've always gotten that. This is that whole maintenance versus mission discussion, I think.
That's a very good point. And how frustrating it is sometimes that you establish a personal relationship with someone and then you see that our ability to transform people's lives is very limited. And then when you are not thinking crowds, but you are in the one-to-one, it's human beings, so you could be subject to lots of defeats.
It is. But remember, though, the exponential growth,
yeah, sure.
you know, of the early church, if we all follow through on this, that's mm-hmm. the thing. So if, you know, as we develop a relationship, if that continues to two more people and then four more people. And so it's always interesting here to think about Peter and then Andrew, that relationship, that one-on-one call. But then they kind of grow to the 12 and then, but in particular to the group of 72 disciples mm-hmm. and then more. I bet you could find personal connections with that if you know, if we knew it.
In this part of the gospel, the text about the calling of the first disciples, I also see a common thing, something in common. It's Jesus going to where they were and mm-hmm. not the other way around. I think the church has committed the sin of saying, we are the truth, we are giving you what you need, so come and get it. Where here Jesus went to the shore of the sea and picked people where they were. And I think that's a great homily. It's something to reflect about how... Are we really a church that is going out like Jesus went to the shore of the sea to get his first disciples? Or are we still in a mentality that we are right, everybody else is wrong, and come to get it here? We will be waiting for you here.
Yeah. Here's where I'd not disagree, but I'd say, yes, you're right. I think part of that is correct. But also, you know, also requires a response on the part of someone else mm-hmm. to say, there are certain things in my life though, mm-hmm. to follow Jesus that I need to put aside. Like, but, you know.
But we agree on trying to avoid the mentality of people should come here.
Correct, yeah.
And the other thing I think common is that they all immediately followed him. Is this historically accurate that this process of following Jesus was so... But there is something about the immediacy. That's something that maybe because I'm getting older, I feel like I need to fight against that tendency we all have to take time to do things. And there's some radical transformation that needs to happen that has a sense of urgency or immediacy. And one thing that happened to me recently, we had a young couple that they told me that they were checking parishes around. And I said, good luck. and I said, good luck. And I said, maybe this is not it, because if this would be your place, you would feel it. Mm-hmm. There is something about this immediacy of feeling something that they did come back. So it wasn't totally putting them off. But it was about you feel these things. And I think these guys felt something special when Jesus called them. So we don't know if historically this was like a sudden process, as it's described here, or if it took more time. But there was a sense of immediacy. There is a sense of recognizing that this is it.
The thing about the word immediate, though, is it can be applied to a broad variety of maybe meanings or understandings. So immediate could mean you actually move immediately, almost like a hastiness, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Well, I read into immediately in thinking about there might have been an imperfect path to saying yes, but when they say yes and they commit. Mm-hmm. And then how is that lived out? That might be a different kind of immediate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's immediate, like some words can mean a lot of different things to different people. So I like to think that, you know, there was a bit of imperfection in these individuals mm-hmm. as well to say, you know, maybe they did hesitate a little, but once they said yes, they were all in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think about that too. It's not about timing, I guess I'm mm-hmm. trying to say, is mm-hmm. when you're in, you're all in.
All in,
sometimes.
Yeah.
So
with the all in, I agree.
I guess I say this to say...
I'm not sure I agree
following,
with...
Well, I think following immediately, I think it's worth some reflection on yeah, a part of sure. each of our parts.
I'm not sure if I agree with the parsing of the word that you just did, but you are a canonist now, so congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
Thanks. And you will have to do a lot of that. I think that's good enough for today.
I think it is. Though, one last point, because I think it's a really important line. Oh. Jesus goes, he went all around Galilee teaching in their synagogues. Pretty big deal. So Jesus here already, you know, we sometimes focus on the end of Jesus's life and him making clear his identity as a son of God, which was just blasphemy in a Jewish sense. But even early on, he's teaching in their synagogues and kind of what's going on there. My point is there is tension already building.
Exactly, because it doesn't say he taught in synagogues. It says he taught in their synagogues.
Right, right.
And that coming in Matthew, which is the most Jewish of the Gospels. So that's a whole thing to reflect about. Just the use of the word their synagogues instead of synagogues. So in synagogues. Yeah.
I point that out at the beginning of Matthew's gospel here in the liturgical year to say the tension's already building. So it's not just at the end, you know, as we get closer to the cleansing of the temple, but it's here.
Good.
Good. How about we get together next week?
Excellent. So as always, if you know of someone who could benefit from listening to this podcast, we are so moved and so humbled by the hundreds of people who listen to it. The other day, a parishioner somewhere else called me to tell me that the priest mentioned the podcast. So that was humbling and I was happy to hear that somebody got something from it.
Excellent. Good. All right. I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Philip.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.